This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Imagine yourself sitting in a room. You're at peace. It's quiet. It's enjoyable. Your heart is completely serene. And you're lacking only one thing. You're lacking companionship. And then as you look up, you see your mother walk into the room. And then you see your father walk into the room. And then you see your brother and your sister walk into the room. And the rest of your family all walk into the room. And all of a sudden there's an atmosphere. And you're all happy together, chatting to each other, chirping away. Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal has promised those who believe in Him and fear Him that He will join their families to them in Jannah. Allahu Akbar. Imagine the happiness when you are now joined with the rest of your family in Jannah, knowing that after today there is no more suffering. After today, there is only bliss and happiness. Adam, alayhi salatu wassalam, was lonely in Jannah. So Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal gave him Hawa to give him companionship. And we will be joined with our families in Jannah if we fear Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَاتَّبَعَتْهُمْ ذُرِّيَّتُهُمْ بِإِيمَانٍ أَلْحَقْنَا بِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَمَا أَلَتْنَاهُمْ مِنْ عَمَلِهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. And those who believe in Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, they will be joined with their families and their children follow after them. They will be joined by their children. We will join their children to them. أَلْحَقْنَا بِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَمَا أَلَتْنَاهُمْ مِنْ عَمَلِهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. And we did not remove any of their good deeds that they have done. They will receive the full reward of everything that they have done. Allahu Akbar. Imagine the happiness in your heart, bubbling with joy. Now, I'd like to take you back to the dunya. And imagine the problem that you are going through right now. That may actually be the reason for your entry into Jannah. And when you look at it backwards, from the perspective of the Akhirah and from Jannah, and think about your feelings there, then these problems in this world become very minute. They become very small for you. Why? Because you know that that is everlasting and this is temporary. This is temporary. You see, when we lose a bit of money, or we lose a bit of wealth, or perhaps we have lost a limb, or we have been diagnosed with cancer, or the doctors told us that we're going blind, immediately our minds and hearts begin to race. And we think about, who has done this to me? What has happened to me? What's going to happen in the future? How am I going to live without sight? How am I going to live with this cancer? It's killing me. I'm dying. Well, we're all dying. And the reality is that when you think about this, the first thought that should come to your mind is none other than the one who will remove that hardship from you. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةً قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Those whom when a calamity afflicts them, then they say, we belong to Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, and to Him we shall return. Our entire lives belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't allow your thoughts to take you far away. Don't allow your thoughts to think about your aunt who has some ill feeling towards you and your cousin who perhaps did something to you, or perhaps she looked at you in an evil way. No, think about the fact that this is from Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. As soon as that calamity strikes, think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Turn to Him, ask Him, beg Him to remove that calamity from you, and don't point fingers. You see, one of the greatest jobs of shaitan is to cause disunity in the ummah. So he will come to you and say, you know, perhaps it was her. She said something bad about you the other day. So maybe she did it to you. Maybe you need to go and do something back in return. Don't allow these thoughts to even enter into your mind. Rather, immediately turn to Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. Some of us place shaitan on a pedestal, and by having these thoughts and allowing them to fester, what we are doing is raising him above his actual level. So Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal is the creator of shaitan, and shaitan is in his control. So we should never assume that he is an adversary at par with Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. Yes, he is an adversary. Yes, he is an enemy to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sworn enemy of mankind as well. But that doesn't make him similar or the same as Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. By giving that evil importance, what we do is we are giving shaitan importance. One hadith tells us that when we mention shaitan, he actually becomes as big as a house. He becomes big and he says, you see, he mentioned me. He took my name. But rather say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Seek the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, I seek refuge in Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal from shaitan the accursed. And he runs away as fast as he can. Why? Because you have sought refuge in the most powerful being to ever exist. Now, with regards to the word sihr, magic, it has an origin. And if we look at the meaning of this word, sahara yasharu, we know of a word that we use regularly, and that is suhoor. And all of us know what this means. It's the meal that we partake of before the Fajr Salah, before the dawn, in order to commence our fast. So just before we commence our fast, we partake of this meal. And this word sihr is used for magic, because at that time, while the fasting people are partaking of the meal, there are some people who are engaged in the dark arts, busy tying up hair and blowing knots into them, busy denigrating and desecrating the Quran, throwing it down, urinating upon it, in order to achieve their evil goals. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So, at that time, there is also something else happening, an act of worship that people engage in when Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, He comes down to the lowest heaven. He comes down to the heaven of the dunya and he calls out. There are people connecting with Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. So within the darkness, as all of these people are practicing their dark arts, there is a beacon of light going from your tahajjud, from your suhoor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees you. And that is one of the most powerful ways that you can use to protect yourself from magic. Wake up 10 minutes before Salatul Fajr, and while they are practicing the dark arts, you are obeying Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. Imagine what place that holds with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, that darkness that is mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says so beautifully, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقُ. Say, I seek refuge in the Lord of what? In the Lord of the dawn, the split of the horizon, when the light decimates the darkness, when the light splits the darkness. Why did Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal use that word, رَبُّ الْفَلَقِ, the Lord of the split that happens? that opens the daybreak. Why? If you are engaged in ibadah during the darkness, the Lord of the horizon will split all of your problems. All of the darkness that will come, that is in your life, will be split and completely removed from your life. And it is amazing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this surah and He explains to us in this manner how He splits the darkness. Hence we say, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ and قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. They are the two protectors. Because when you understand what you are reciting, when you read them, then it is enough for you. You know, I've sought refuge in the one, the only, the most powerful, the almighty. Nobody and nothing can do anything if He is protecting me. At the time of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, or just before, the people were engaged in magic. And they used to practice it. It was common for them to do so. And as they practiced it, they would actually get to a point where they became so accustomed to it that they began to write down their thoughts. They began to write down their thoughts in books. And when Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam came, he got hold of these books, took them and buried them under his throne. And any devil that wanted to come close to the throne was burnt. Burnt completely. They couldn't come close to the throne at all. And they feared Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. So they would not even come close to the throne out of fear of what would happen to them. He had the jinn under his control. He would tell the wind to move and it would move by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam passed on, then the devil came to the people and he said that, do you know how Sulaiman controlled you? Do you know how Sulaiman had all this power and he could command the wind to move and it would move? He would talk to the birds. He understood the language of the ants, etc. Do you know how all of that happened? That was because he had some books that he would use to practice magic. So he took the people to the throne. And because he knew that Sulaiman has decreed or made a dua for any jinn who comes close to the throne to be burnt, he said, I'm standing here, you go. You go and you dig there, you will find these books. So the people went and they dug. And they found the books buried under the throne of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. And they then began to teach the people magic. And they practiced it once again. So it became common and knowledge amongst them that Sulaiman used to practice magic. And that is how he got this power. You see how the devil actually changed the narrative. This is the job of the devil. This is what he does. So the people began to practice magic and they blasphemed Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam by saying he too practiced magic. And Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal says, وَاتَّبَعُوا مَا تَتْلُوا الشَّيَاطِينُ عَلَى مُلْكِ سُلَيْمَانِ وَمَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانِ وَلَكِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ كَفَرُوا يُعَلِّمُونَ النَّاسَ السِّحْرِ. And they followed that which the devils recited upon them, upon the throne of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. And Sulaiman did not disbelieve, but the devils disbelieved in Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. So this was cleared by the Quran that Sulaiman was not a magician, but Sulaiman had powers vested in him by Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. Now, today there are people still looking for those books. They still want to get their hands onto them and practice the dark arts that happened at the time. And this is known as black magic. But as we spoke and as we said, this magic existed before Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. So it was not introduced by Sulaiman. In fact, he tried to get rid of it by burying it. But the people took it out and they practiced. So this black magic, a lot of people attribute it to Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, but he did not practice it. He did not do it. And I'd like to draw our attention to something here. Oftentimes, we assume that there is good and bad magic. There is nothing like good magic on earth. There is nothing like good magic on earth. So Harry Potter is a book that many of us read. And I know it brings about a lot of smiles because we've read it, right? But I want to draw your attention to one thing. You see, when as you read that book, what is the narrative? Harry was affected by magic, by this evil creature known as Voldemort. And Voldemort was evil and dark, and Harry was good. So the spells that Harry cast were good, and the spells that Voldemort cast were evil. Automatically, your mind is rooting for the better person. Who is the better person according to the author? Harry. But they, in the sight of Allah, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, are the same. They are both the same, both evil, both corrupted by magic. So there is nothing good about magic. And then what do? We tell our children, read these books. It's okay, it doesn't matter. It's just folklore. You know what happens? You are actually allowing some of the devils to enter into their lives through these books. Let's call them Horcruxes, for those who know. Someone will say, how do you know this? Maybe you read the book, eh? Allahu Akbar, bid'ah. No, I tell you, I read the books when I was a child. I read the books when I was very young. And I also was rooting for Harry. Anybody who reads the books understands. In fact, as I was reading, it was as though I was under a spell. I remember that I used to read Enid Blyton and Harry Potter and all these Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew and what have you. All these books. I used to read these books. But I could read 10, 15, 20 pages, 30 pages at most. And then I'd get tired, put the book down and then carry on later. But with Harry Potter, it was as though I was bewitched. Allahu Akbar. I will tell you that as I began to read, I made sure I carried on and continued to read the book until I finished it. Only there were bathroom breaks in between. There were salah breaks in between. That was all. That was all. As soon as I'm done, the mind is there. It is as though you are bewitched. And I want to tell you something that perhaps you didn't know about. I remember clearly reading, I was Googling it and trying to find whether it is a reality or not. But I remember clearly reading in an article that J.K. Rowling, the author of this book, released the book, one of the books, in a cave in Scotland at midnight. What is that? What is that? That is a ritual that she's practicing. Call it what you may. It is a ritual that she is practicing. So, these books are not as innocent as we think they are. And if you really must, and you feel like you want to, then at least teach your children what is right and what is wrong. Tell them that magic is all black. There is nothing like good and bad magic. And when they know the truth, and they know the ahadith, before they know the book, and they know the ayat about sihr and magic, perhaps when they reach a certain age, it is okay for you to allow them to read these books. عَرَفْتُ الشَّرَّ لِأُوَقِّيهِ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَعْرِفِ الشَّرَّ يَقَعْ فِيهِ. And even then, you tell them that I want you to know evil from here and what it looks like so that you can protect yourself from it. And the one who doesn't know evil doesn't know how to protect himself from it. So there is a reason why you are reading this book and why we are allowing you to read it. So at a young age, don't allow them to read these books. It is not beneficial for them. It will not benefit them in their dunya or in their akhirah at all. In fact, it will most likely be detrimental to them. You know, today you have shops, entire shops, where you can go and buy a cloak and a wand and look like Harry. Wallahi, this is all part of the ritual. This is all part of the ritual. It is much deeper than we think. One of the other things that I remember about the author is she reached a point in her books where she could not continue any longer. It was too much for her to take. And when they asked her why, she said, I feel dark. I feel like it is, and I'm paraphrasing here. So I feel dark. I feel like it's too much for me to write. It's too heavy. What is that? As Muslims, we know what that is. Those are the forces of darkness from Satan himself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Ameen. Then we have what is known as the evil eye. And with regards to the evil eye, it is important to remember that whenever you see something of bounty, something beautiful, something that astounds you, immediately say, Allahumma barik. Oh Allah, bless this person, bless this thing. Why? Because when you see your brother wearing a beautiful coat, and now you're watching it and saying, wow, it's amazing. You may not even be aware of the effects that your eyes have on that person. You may not even be aware of the feelings within your heart. So, I'll give you an example. There was a bride in Saudi Arabia, and she went into the wedding hall, and as she went into the wedding hall, she became blind. So, the people thought that perhaps this is Ayn, this is the evil eye. So they got someone to get some water, and every single person there would take a sip, and then she would drink from it. And this is one of the cures. If you know that this is the person that I suspect, you can actually get people to that person to drink from the water, and then you drink from it as well. Don't now go to people and say, hey you, I think you put ayn on me. I think you were looking at my coat too much the other day. So don't do that. But invite them home, they drink some water, offer them something, they eat something, eat from that or drink from that. And inshallah, you will get cured. If there is something, it will go. So this girl drank from the glass and nothing happened. She remained blind. And wallahi, some years continued. Her marriage happened, she lived. Some years continued and passed. And after some years, her mother passed away. And from the moment her mother passed away, her eyesight came back. Allahu Akbar. The only person in the room not to drink from that cup was her mother, because they never thought that she would ever put the evil eye on her daughter. This is her daughter, a piece of her. How can she ever want evil for her? But she was not even aware, most likely, of the fact that I've given her the evil eye. Imagine what a mother feels for her daughter. That rahmah, that mercy, but it was possible for it to happen. Where shaitan influences a person, sometimes we are not even aware. Inna shaitana yajri fi ibn Adama majra ad-dam. Shaitan runs in the son of Adam, the running of blood. So he's whispering, he's influencing, he's saying things, he's doing things all the time. We have a qareen, a devil with us. When it gets the better of us, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. So always say, MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah, Allahumma barik. Oh Allah, bless this person. Remember Allah in some way, shape or form. Why? Because that removes the influence of the devil from your thoughts, from your mind, from your eye. And now you wish the person goodness. But if you want to follow the sunnah, then say, Allahumma barik. Oh Allah, bless this person. Oh barakallahu fiqh. May Allah bless you. This is something that we should be doing. At the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a companion known as Amir ibn Rabi'ah, he was passing by another companion bathing. And this companion who was bathing, his name was Sahl ibn Hunayf. Now as Amir passed by him, he looked at his skin and he says, Wallahi, you have the most amazing skin. You have beautiful skin. And immediately Sahl falls down, unconscious. So they carry him to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, man tattahimuna bihi? Who is it that you are pointing a finger, blaming with regards to Sahl? And they said, we think it is Amir. So he says, call Amir. Amir comes and he says, Ala ma yaqtul ahadukum sahibah. Why would one of you want to kill his brother? Why would one of you want to kill his brother? These are the wordings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Your eye is dangerous. That is why we say, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he then told Amir, that take this water, bathe in it, and the leftover of it, He gave it to Sahl, said, take a few sips and then bathe in it as well. And as soon as he did, Sahl got up and he walked away like nothing was wrong with him. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So this is a true story at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, at one point he told Amir that when you see something of goodness, bounty from your brother, فَلْيَدْعُوا بِالْبَرَكَةِ, then let him make, you should make a dua of barakah for him. And this will actually expel or dispel whatever evil is there. Now, the last and most important thing that I'd like to discuss today is the aspect of how to protect oneself. How do you protect yourself from the jinn, from evil eye, from black magic, from jinn possession as well? The most important thing that we need to remember is as-salah, our salah. If you are not performing your salah, that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do 5 times a day, that which some scholars believe, if you don't offer, takes you out of the fold of Islam, then how do you then expect to have the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You see, sometimes people come to us, and I specifically remember a sister in London who came to me after an event and said, Sheikh, I have problems, mental problems, perhaps there is a jinn that has affected me, perhaps there is something, I have all these issues, what do I do? And the first question I asked her, do you perform your salah regularly? Sometimes I perform all 5, sometimes I perform 3 salawat, sometimes I only perform 1. How do you then expect the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come? How do you then expect the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be with you? How do you expect to raise your hands up to Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, call out to Him and He will respond to you, yet you don't do the bare minimum that He has asked you to do? Man salla subha fahuwa fi dhimmatillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, or Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, that the one who performs the Fajr Salah, he is in the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't even wake up for Fajr Salah, but you want that protection from Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. So the first and most important thing is your Salah. And when your Salah is in order, then you will find yourself sinning much less. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ. Salah protects from immorality, وَالْمُنْكَرِ, and evil. So a person finds himself very far away from immorality. He can't easily engage in that which is immoral. You see, immorality in and of itself, zina specifically, creates a very big door for the jinn to enter from. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا يزني الزاني حين يزني وهو مؤمن. A believer, a person who is committing zina, does not commit zina except while he is a believer. What happens? Your iman literally floats above your head while you are engaged in the act until you end off, and then your iman enters back into the body. Allahu Akbar. So at that juncture, while your iman is gone and it is far away from you, do you think that it is hard for the jinn to enter you? You are doing something displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So obviously, the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not with you. And you have literally asked for that protection to be removed, and the jinn have an opportunity to enter into you. So the most important thing for that is to ensure that your salah is correct and you will keep away from that immorality. It will automatically move far away from you. And when you do something wrong, immediately turn back to Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, regardless of the sin, no matter what it is. Turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is more merciful to you than your mother is to you. Allah is more merciful to you than you are to yourself. Had you been merciful enough to yourself, you wouldn't have engaged in that sin in the first place. Because of the lack of knowledge, because of not knowing the consequences of your actions in the Akhirah, you engaged in it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more merciful to you. Turn to Him immediately.
وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ.
And those who have committed immorality, zina, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it clear that when those who commit zina, some of them have this quality of immediately turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They remember the one whom they have disobeyed, and they turn back to Him and beg Him for forgiveness. What does that do? That shortens that window in which the devil can enter. It shortens that window. I've made a mistake here, Ya Allah, but I turn back to You. I seek Your forgiveness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He forgives all of the sins. So turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quickly. As soon as you sin, turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember Him. Ask Him for His forgiveness. Which one of us can claim that we are free of sin? So turn back to Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. So even the fastness or the quickness of your tawbah, the pace at which you turn back to Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, it influences whether the shaitan have influence over you or not. Now, the second thing that we need to remember is that, you see, many of us, we are engaged in certain things that are actually displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of them that I'd like to mention is this idea of changing the creation of Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. You see, Shaytan mentions this specifically in one of his arguments, in one of his statements.
وَلَأُضِلَّنَّهُمْ وَلَأُمَنِّيَنَّهُمْ وَلَآمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُبَتِّكُنَّ آذَانَ الْأَنْعَامِ وَلَآمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ.
And I will command them and I will give them false hopes, so they will then slit the ears of the beasts and place them onto their necks, and they will change the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today we have something known as makeup. And men and women use this makeup to change the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only that, we have what is known as plastic surgery as well. We have lip fillers and eye fillers and all sorts of fillers. Some of them I can't even say here today. And these here actually open up a door for the devil. Why? Because he says, وَلَا أَمُرَنَّهُمْ. So I will command them, فَلَا يُغَيْرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. So they will change the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you change the creation of Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, simply to look a bit more presentable to mankind, you have compromised your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that is a dangerous opening, because you are literally obeying the devil and disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I say it because it has become extreme. It has become extreme. Pretty people, good looking people, now filling up their lips to literally engage in a trend that will pass within a year or two or three. They fill up their lips and they fill up their eyes and they fill up their faces and they do whatever they need to do. With all of these things, you are actually becoming subservient to the devil himself. Allahu Akbar. I know many of us don't like to hear this. I know many of us say, no, it's just because of my insecurities, etc. مَنْ تَرَكَ شَيْئًا لِلَّهِ عَوَّضَهُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُ. The one who leaves something for Allah, Allah will give him better. Do you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will discard you? Take off that and go out there and face the people proud to stand before them, because Allah gave me this face. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove those insecurities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will lift that anxiety that you feel. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you become proud. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will instill pride of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within your heart. So you will be a proud believer, an ambassador of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what we should be encouraging. You know, sometimes I actually see people, you know, nowadays you can't even say sisters or brothers. You need to say people. Anyways, so and it's true, even the brothers do it. I'm not, you know, some brothers actually do it as well. So people basically have nails so long. Wallahi, I think that these are weapons on their hands. You know, I think this person can easily just slit someone's throat with this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. The other question that comes to mind, and the other question that comes to mind is, does this person make istinja? Allahu Akbar. What happens when you go to the toilet? Do you take them off? I'd like to see. I want to know, do you take them off and put them away, or what goes on there? Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. We can laugh about these issues, but they are serious. They are serious. Brothers and sisters in Islam, these are trends that come from a people that are not Muslim. These are trends that they instilled. These are trends that they have sent us down a lizard hole with regards to. So think about what you are doing and what you are engaged in. Now, the last and most important thing is to recite Ayatul Kursi. Recite Ayatul Kursi early in the morning and in the evening and before you go to sleep. And I say Ayatul Kursi and the Mu'awwidhatayn, Suratul Falaq and Suratul Nas, because many of us do actually recite our adhkar. But how we recite them is just in passing, quickly. As we are moving from one place to another, Allahu la ilaha illahu al-hayyu. No. Sit and think about the meaning. Think about what you are saying, how you are saying it, and what you are actually declaring before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whom you are seeking refuge in by saying this. And take just 5 minutes of your time to recite it with presence, and the impact will be much greater than if you had to recite for an hour without presence. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from these evil forces, and may Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal grant us the ability to practice upon the goodness that has been shared. Ameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.